This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The same night in November of 2008 that Barack Obama was elected president, Proposition 8 was passed in California. That measure banned gay marriage in the state. Black voters turned out in big numbers, helping the president win California by an astounding 24 points. And that led gay rights activists to blame black voters for passing Prop 8. This intrigued filmmaker Yoruba Richin. Her new documentary is called The New Black, and it takes a look at how the black community is split when it comes to marriage equality. The New Black screens this weekend at the North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival at the Carolina Theater in Durham. Yoruba Richin wrote, directed, and co-produced The New Black and joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Your film opens with a retrospective look at the fallout from Prop 8. Remind us of the anger that erupted among primarily white gay activists in the aftermath.
Sure. I was actually in California at the time on election night, and it was such a crazy scene in that we had the election of Barack Obama, the first African-American president, the elation that many people felt about that, and then at the same time, the passage of Proposition 8 and the anger that so many people felt about that. And literally simultaneous to the celebrations that were happening on the street in San Francisco, where I happened to be, were protests that took place all over the Castro, all over the city, really, really expressing anger about this proposition that had passed, that had taken away, you know, the recently won right for gay couples to marry. So it was quite a moment. And literally the next day, as I'm listening to the coverage and watching the coverage, the African-American community was blamed for it. And I really was so confused by that and very curious as to why these groups seem to be, you know, pitted against each other.
Well, and you spoke in your film with the Reverend Eric Lee of the L.A. chapter of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Let's hear his analysis.
Those in favor of Proposition 8 aggressively reached out to African-American clergy. Were the LGBT community driving this issue to defeat Proposition 8? Did not. One of the missteps of the campaign was the assumption made by the gay community that by framing marriage equality as a civil right, that automatically the African-American community would overwhelmingly support it. But the black community is not monolithic. We're just like any other community. To make that assumption was, I think, a critical error in strategy.
It's a clip from the film The New Black, going to screen Saturday and Sunday at the North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival at the Carolina Theater in Durham. Filmmaker Yoruba Richin is with me now. So that is a kind of a central argument and, as Eric Lee says, a kind of a misstep. The assumption that since this is civil rights and since African Americans were in the forefront of a civil rights movement, well, they'll be on board. Is that what you were finding?
Yeah, I mean, what we found was that that wasn't necessarily the case. And the film looks at how that campaign, you know, looks a little bit at how that proposition campaign was lost because of that assumption. But I do think, and the film shows this, that a lot of people who were working on this issue learned from that experience. And in Maryland, where the same issue came up again in this past election, a marriage equality issue, and where the black community was quite a significant part of the voter electorate, there was a different understanding of how the African American community needed to how they needed to be worked with on this issue.
And
I think that made the difference.
And we often say African American community, but it's important to point out that we're talking about many communities, particularly in Maryland, where there's quite a range of socio and economic backgrounds, as well as a large African American population. Give us the scope of black populations in Maryland.
Well, the thing that I think is interesting is that in Maryland, I think the African-American population sort of mirrors, you know, the U.S., the African-American population in the U.S. Of course, we're a diverse community. We don't always get to see our diversity portrayed on screen or even in the news. So, you know, you have Prince George's County, which is the highest, one of the highest incomes for black people in the country. And then you have the city of Baltimore, which, as we know from the way it's been, you know, depicted on shows like The Wire, the challenges that that city faces. So and then you have many, you know, universities, black colleges, Morgan State, University of Maryland, that has a significant black population. So you have a wide range of African-Americans, and you have a wide range of churches there, too. And the church community is very prominent. And that was one of the key groups that the organizers and the advocates of marriage equality worked with. And the film shows how that alliance was really crucial in the campaign.
And there was an interesting, there was a lot of talk in Maryland about the effort of right-wing groups to forge an alliance with black churches. Let's listen.
Recently unsealed federal court documents states, quote, "The strategic goal of this project is to drive a wedge between gays and blacks, two key Democratic constituencies, develop a media campaign around their objections to gay marriage as a civil right, provoke the gay marriage base into responding by denouncing these spokesmen and women as bigots. This is a strategy recommended by the petition drive's biggest contributor, the National Organization for Marriage."
There's a clip from the new Black on a Screen at the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival in Durham this Saturday and Sunday. Yoruba Richin is with me now. That was a charge that was leveled without blushing, the idea that this is a kind of brainwashing campaign, and African-American voters have been brainwashed by this right-wing campaign.
Well, the thing that was amazing during the filming of this is that those documents were that the newscaster of the clip you just played were released in the spring. So during the time I was filming this story, but it's connected to a larger strategy that has been that the Christian right has taken on starting back in the 90s. And the film shows that where the roots of this alliance has, you know, taken place. And it really was about the Christian right reaching out to conservative members of the African-American church to forge a political alliance against gay rights. The film shows how this started in Cincinnati, Ohio. It also happened in Michigan, in different places around the country. And then kind of leading up to, we see how this alliance has continued up until Maryland. And it's not, you know, I wouldn't say it's brainwashing. I'd say it's the strange bedfellows thing.
But the interesting thing to me about it is the way in which it's cast as a kind of brainwashing. What, as you suggest, yeah, it's a political alliance. If I find favor,
right,
and I find favor, this group is going to support my issue, I'm going to make an effort. And this is something that the Reverend K.Z. Smith addressed, and you mentioned Cincinnati when this alliance got started back in the 90s with a similar proposition in the city of Cincinnati. And K.Z. Smith, a minister, a black minister who was opposed to gay marriage, addressed mm-hmm. that very question.
Exactly.
What troubles me is that people can't believe that we actually stood up for what we believe. They think that we were motivated by the religious right, that we were motivated by rich white people coming into the community and telling us what to believe and what to stand up for, versus us thinking for ourselves and believing for ourselves.
And there it is. So there's the complexity of all this. In parallel, you can have a deliberate effort on the part of the right to find alliances in places where they hadn't found them before, and people thinking on their own, because, yeah, exactly, that's how some of our community really thinks. That's some of the complexity.
Yeah. Exactly. It's complex. And also, that's how politics works, right? That's how we, you know, different alliances form. And the thing that is so interesting, was so interesting to me about this particular one, is that the Christian right arguably, and the evangelical right arguably, especially in the 90s, had not really worked with the black church on any other issues. But it was this issue where they found a common cause versus all the other issues that in the history of the civil rights that you just talked about in your last segment, that the black church, you know, had been working on. So I found that a very interesting twist in the film, and that the fact that we charted it from the 90s and still saw it going on in the Maryland campaign was fascinating to me.
But now tell us how things changed, because you talked about the lessons learned between California and Maryland. How did the organizing change on the part of gay rights activists in Maryland?
Well, there was a lot of lessons to be learned within the larger LGBT community that had been pushing for marriage equality and working on these issues. There was the transformation or the evolution of President Barack Obama on the issue, the NAACP coming out for marriage equality. So there were these, between 2008 and 2012 election, there were these major milestones around the issue, which is, you know, part of the reason why we hear so much about how marriage equality has come so far so fast. And not just marriage equality, but gay rights in general. So the other part, though, is that within the Maryland campaign, we profile the activists who are working on this issue, who are going door to door on those streets in Maryland, you know, in those houses in Prince George's County, in their families, in their churches, in their communities, and having the discussion and meeting people where they're at on this issue. And the film, you know, I took pains to not demonize anybody. And I think I did that in conjunction with the activists who are working on this issue. And you see that in the film. So what we're seeing in The New Black is really a new conversation that's happening within the Black community around the gay rights issue. There's still a lot of work to be done, and a lot of, you know, sectors, a lot of places where, you know, it hasn't seeped into. But I think even, you know, the polls show that the African-American community has come very far on this issue, and just like all Americans, actually, and it's not just the Black community. So The New Black really traces how that's happened and what's happening within our community around this issue.
A number of different exchanges at many levels in churches where people would stand up and suggest that somehow homosexuality is a matter of choice and not biology, and it is a heartfelt belief, and it would appear that that belief in that individual isn't going to change. That comes up in sort of middle-class settings in churches and in homes. And then a couple of activists go into what appears to be a poor neighborhood in Baltimore, and three guys sitting on the steps of a row house engage with the activists who are doing the conversation. That was fascinating conversation in that there was a little of what you expected. I don't want to hear anything about gay rights, except for one young man who stood up and said, wait a minute, why are they telling us who we can marry and who we can't?
It's one of my favorite scenes, and that scene really resonates. And not just because of, you know, it's unexpected, but it's the fact that, you know, in our community, I talk to other African-Americans about that scene. They say, I know those brothers on the street. You know, those are people that I'm friends with. Those are my family. And we don't get to see that kind of complexity within our community.
The other thing you do is examine the role of the Black church, and I think that's something that maybe we don't understand deeply enough, why the Black church is so important and why this stand within the church makes such a difference politically. You spoke with Julian Bond, of course, civil rights activist and politician. Let's listen to his take.
The Black church was a place to go when we had no place else to go. It was a place to meet when we had no place else to meet. The leader of the church was a relatively independent person. He didn't work for white people. He worked for the church. And he was a figure of some importance because he spoke to these people every Sunday morning. He was a guide, a moral leader, and so on. You look to him for some guidance on how to behave, how to be a person.
Julian Bond from the film The New Black shows Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 1 p.m. at the North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, Carolina Theater in Durham. Yoruba Richin is the filmmaker, and she is speaking with me today. Tell us more about the role of the Black church, because in your film, of course, you document how Black church leaders and ministers are changing, and they too are divided on this issue.
Absolutely. I thought it was really important to understand the role of the Black church, even for those of us, and I include myself in that, who didn't grow up necessarily in the church. The Black church has a moral sway. And I mean, I'm speaking in North Carolina, where I think, you know, it's really understood as, you know, one of the places where the civil rights movement took hold and was started. The church has a moral sway in our community like nothing else, a political sway and a moral sway. And so I was very interested in that fact, and that in the church, which had been the heart of our civil rights movement and in, you know, promoting freedom and fighting and dying for freedom for Black people, how members and, you know, powerful members of the church can take a stand against somebody else's freedom. So I was really interested in looking at that dichotomy. but also, too, how the Black church is evolving on this issue. As I said, I'm talking to community organizations and churches all around the country now, and it's not that it's complete. It's not that everything is, you know, hunky-dory and everyone's in agreement, but there's a conversation and there's an acknowledgement that there are gay people in these churches, in the pews, who are leading churches, and that we have to, as a community, understand and come to some understanding and some dialogue around this issue, that it's not going to just work to cast people out. And that's what the film shows.
How is it changing and why? Again, we're sitting in North Carolina where the Reverend William Barber, the president of the NAACP, North Carolina chapter, certainly has his strongest base of support in those churches and came out strongly opposed to Amendment 1, an amendment that has banned gay marriage in this state. He took out a full-page ad and campaigned vigorously with gay rights activists against that amendment. He has to make some political calculation. I understand that there's moral suasion and he was morally, probably believes in it. But there has to be a calculation that the time is right to make this move. What's happening? How is this change possible?
I think that the time is right. I think you hit the nail on the head. It was the minister there North Carolina, the Minister Barber that you just talked about. In California, there were ministers who came out, and said, we can't support Proposition 8. This is not right. And I don't know about the politics of it, quite honestly, because they, in many cases, they lost members. They, it wasn't an easy road to do, but it was about what's right. And if you look at these churches that have a history of fighting for fighting for justice, it's really in the line of that and in that trajectory. But also, too, there is a moment that we're having right now where gay rights, and I think there's an understanding that gay rights are part of human rights and that are, that we all have family members, children, brothers and sisters who are gay and lesbian, and from the president on down, the president coming out and saying that he supported gay marriage, and not only that, including the struggle of Stonewall in line with Seneca and Selma. To me, that was even more tremendous that he made that part of the struggle for human rights, which is the very American story that we have. I mean, all of these groups, of minority groups have fought and continue to fight in the march towards justice. And I think there's an acknowledgement that gay rights are part of that.
Well, and one of the struggles for African-American communities and families has been, and someone made the point in your film that, we've never had the Leave It to Beaver family structure, and we can often be even criticized for that, but our family structure is what it is. And it more closely mirrors, or at least has some connection to other lifestyles and other family structures that should be allowed in this kind of a society.
Absolutely. I mean, we have, because of historical factors, we weren't allowed to marry when we first were brought here as slaves. We certainly weren't, and we weren't allowed to marry who we wanted to until the Loving Decision in 67. So we have a history of not being able to have the kind of families that we want. And one character in the film, the brilliant Bishop Yvette Flender, says, there's a lot that the gay community, she says in the film, there's a lot that the gay community can learn from the African-American community, how to have a family when you are marginalized. And to me, that's a brilliant sort of succinct way of understanding.
Yoruba, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Yoruba Richin, filmmaker. Her documentary, The New Black, screens this Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning and Sunday at 1 p.m., the North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival at the Carolina Theater in Durham. Coming up next on The State of Things, we will take a sail around the world in a cargo ship. Stay tuned.